This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation has confirmed two more positive coronavirus cases in people from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. One of them is a family member of a person who was confirmed to be positive this week. Another lives in a YK Delta village but was tested in Anchorage. Both individuals are currently self-isolating. This is the third confirmed case announced this week and the 20th associated with the YK Delta since the pandemic started. YKHC has opened testing sites at the airports of Antioch and St. Mary's, and the healthcare provider urges everyone traveling into the region to get tested at the airports. YKHC also offers free drive-through testing at the Bethel Hospital every Wednesday. The healthcare corporation urges YK Delta residents to only travel for essential reasons, wash their hands, keep 6 feet away from others, and wear a mask in public. And there's a new system available for people who choose to vote absentee by mail. Voters can now register online to receive their applications instead of mailing, emailing, or faxing them. To apply, voters must have a valid Alaska driver's license or state-issued ID. Voters can also register or update their registration at the same time. People can apply for all elections in a calendar year on one application, and if you have questions, you can contact the Absentee and Petition Office at 907-270-2700 or through email. And in Raven news, a last-minute deal has emerged to keep Raven Air Group's core assets in Alaska. After a failed auction on Wednesday, a Southern California commuter service with Alaska ties has agreed to buy Raven's two passenger airlines, Penn Air and Corvus, for $8 million. As Nat Hurst with Alaska Public Media reports, the company's new leaders say they hope to put planes back in the air in a month, but for at least some Alaskans, they still have something to prove.
After a failed bankruptcy auction Wednesday, Raven's big planes appear to be on track to be flown to California and sold off in a liquidation process, to the disappointment of Alaskans who depended on Raven's regional service. Raven attorney Jane Kim described what happened next at a hearing Thursday morning.
However, after the auction was concluded, we received two new bids, which is the reason for all of the last-minute scrambling.
At least one group of Alaskans, which included transportation executive Jim Jansen and former Raven executive Bob Hajdukovich, was vying for Raven's planes, but in the end, Raven agreed to sell six of its Big Dash 8s, plus the operating certificates for Corvus and Penn Air, to a Southern California company called Float Shuttle. Float Shuttle stands for Fly Over All Traffic, and its current business is carrying California commuters who want to avoid being stuck in their cars, which is a wholly different universe from the rugged and foul weather flying that Alaska operators are often forced to do.
I think they're in for a pretty rude awakening, you know, flying a float service out of Southern California to coming into Alaska.
That's Dennis Robinson, vice mayor of Unalaska, the Aleutian Island fishing port that's famous for its rough weather and flight cancellations. Since Raven declared bankruptcy and shut down in April, residents and fishermen have had to depend largely on chartered planes, loosely coordinated through a Facebook group. Robinson's reaction upon hearing about Float Shuttle's winning bid was similar to other Alaskans who live in the rural hub communities that Raven used to serve.
My question would be, do they know what they're up against? Because I don't believe they do.
One thing Robinson says would put him more at ease is if Raven's new owners have experience in the Aleutians and in Alaska. And it turns out that they do, to an extent. Rob McKinney, who's going to be Raven's new chief executive, spent 6 years running a Southeast Alaska airline called Wings. A second float executive also spent 5 years in Alaska working for Raven, McKinney says.
So, you know, we think that not only do we bring a depth of aviation knowledge, but, you know, we feel confident that we're Alaska-specific as well.
The new Raven is keeping its name for now, and it intends to use a $32 million COVID-19 payroll grant that's been provisionally made available by the Trump administration. Float Shuttle only bought six of Raven's 9 planes that were up for sale, but they plan to lease 3 more to get the fleet back up to full size and will be keeping all the planes in Alaska, McKinney says.
We are 100% focused on Alaska and serving Alaskans.
The major investor for the new Raven is what's called an incubator, a company that helps startups get off the ground. This particular incubator is called HMC INQ. Its companies have to have at least one owner who's a graduate of Harvey Mudd College, a California liberal arts school that focuses on engineering, science, and math. In this case, that's Tom Shea, one of Float Shuttle's co-founders. He says the incubator will be much more hands-off and community-minded than the private equity companies that owned the old Raven, who rural residents often criticized for being unresponsive.
We're actually really aware of that frustration, and that is certainly something that our team is dead set on rectifying and changing. To be the hometown airline.
The sale to Float Shuttle has been cleared by federal bankruptcy court, the company says, and the new owners aim to have federal approval to resume flying in about a month. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And finally, the coronavirus pandemic and changes in local alcohol law have lowered the expected revenue for the city of Bethel by almost $1 million. Plus, the city's budget for policing continues to go up as a national movement calls for the opposite. KYUK's Gray Kim has more.
The city of Bethel entered fiscal year 2021 in July with two major sources of revenue taking a hit. The COVID-19 pandemic lowered the city's expected sales tax by about $500,000, and entering local option alcohol sale limitation also reduced the city's expected alcohol sales tax by a few $100,000. But those losses will be made up for, plus some, with new revenue sources. The city is expecting $600,000 from marijuana sales tax and the same amount from the sales tax on online purchases, which Bethel residents will start paying in September. Overall, City Manager Vinny Carrazza says the city is doing fine on revenue.
So I would say it's an up projection.
On the expenses side, the city is increasing its spending by 12%. One increase is in the police department's budget, which has gone up by about $1 million over the past 5 years, now about a third of the city's budget. Amid calls nationally to defund the police, City Manager Carrazza, who is also currently the acting police chief, says Bethel has a different situation.
I think those protests were aimed towards what's going on with the nation. But I haven't heard anything negative about our police department. So we're continuing what we've been doing. And if they need our support, we provide it to them.
Carrazza says a lot of the additional expenses in the Bethel budget are due to the city's heightened focus on maintaining roads.
The current council understands the public when they call out for the need of better maintained roads.
The other main increased expense is associated with new subdivisions development like Blue Sky Subdivision, which will wrap around Larson, and Owen C Subdivision behind the post office.
So once you have construction of these subdivisions, you need to have inspectors.
The city is also dipping into its savings account, which builds up during budget surplus years. The city is purchasing $3 million worth of vehicles, computer services, and heavy machinery for road maintenance. Councilmember Mark Springer said that these capital items will have, quote, long-lasting value to the city. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.